NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, part two of our collaboration with WNYC in New York about the financial hurricane facing Puerto Rico. This time, fighting back against austerity. Now, in our last episode, we looked at the history of how Puerto Rico ended up being saddled with $120 billion in debt and pension obligations that it cannot pay, which is a major challenge for Puerto Rico's future. And if you didn't hear that episode, I recommend you go back and listen before starting this one because it's got a lot of helpful context. In that episode, we also talked about the bankruptcy process that Puerto Rico is going through. Today, we're going to visit the island and see how people are reacting to the Financial Oversight and Management Board. Yeah, it's a mouthful. It's the 8-member oversight board that was created by Congress in 2016 to help keep a watchful eye on the island's debt. The board has say over Puerto Rico's finances and any future deal with creditors in the ongoing bankruptcy case. The board hasn't been popular on the island, in part because of the austerity measures that it's proposing, cuts to health care, to pensions, and to education. Latino USA's Andres Caballero visited Puerto Rico recently, and he met one young man who has made it his mission to fight back against the board.
It was a Friday afternoon at the University of Puerto Rico in San Juan, about 6 months after Hurricane Maria devastated the island. Gabriel Negron had just gotten back to his dorm, an old gray-looking 22-story building, also known as Torre Norte. The building offers subsidized housing for students who come from low-income families, like Gabriel. From his room, Gabriel started hearing some sort of commotion in the hallways. He followed the noise and went to see what was happening. Students were crying. Some held letters in their hands. So Gabriel opened his mailbox and started reading the letter signed by the dean,
which pretty much said that he was going to close down the building for next semester so they could remodel.
Gabriel said when the eviction notice arrived,
I cried in the privacy of the bathroom in my room.
Some of the students had only been sleeping on real beds for a few months since being left homeless by the hurricane, sleeping in shelters or relatives' couches. So the building closing meant they would have to start the search for housing all over again. Now, they only had a couple of months to move out, and they weren't given any other affordable options for the following semester.
So for me, it was either, if I don't get housing, I'm not going to be able to study.
Gabriel is 18. He stands at 6 feet, with blondish hair down to his shoulders. I met him on campus at the office of the General Student Council, which has a long tradition of activism and where he's the president. Gabriel taught himself English while watching TV, and now he's learning German. He's in his first year of majoring in economics, which today is a highly relevant topic to his life here in Puerto Rico.
This goes way back than Maria. Puerto Rico has been economically stagnating since 2005.
Puerto Rico is having a financial and economic crisis.
It's a little heavy-handed response now from this current bill.
It's not a humanitarian crisis, as he says.
I'm not going to deny the fact that Puerto Rico has an extraordinary number of challenges.
The recession has been official for 11 years now, more than half of Gabriel's life, which is partly what got him interested in economics. He was only 16 when the oversight board was created, and since then, he's been feeling the impact of its proposals on the island's economy.
Congress gave strong support to a relief plan that would create a federal oversight board.
Just days before Puerto Rico was expected to default,
which will establish a federally appointed control board with sweeping powers to run Puerto Rico's economy.
And to say the least, the oversight board isn't very popular on the island.
The oversight board don't really have the best interests of Puerto Ricans in mind.
To Puerto Ricans, the board is known as La Junta. For people like Gabriel, who oppose the board, a big sticking point is the fact that the board is unelected. Puerto Ricans had no say in it. Its members are appointed directly by the U.S. president, with the exception of one who's appointed by Puerto Rico's governor. Many come from backgrounds in high finance positions, from places like Banco Popular or other large banks. Only half of them are Puerto Rican. Part of the Oversight Board's job is to make sure that Puerto Rico cuts its budget to help get on track and then pay back its creditors. The board is currently negotiating with the government on cuts to things like healthcare, pensions for retirees, and education.
They say that Puerto Rico needs to be guided into achieving fiscal responsibility, more economical growth, and that we need to tighten up our belts and implement austerity measures.
Which brings us back to the closing of Torre Norte, Gabriel's dorm. The university said it was closing the dorms for repairs, partially due to damage from the hurricane. But a lot of people believe it's an excuse for the university to start slashing costs. A month after Gabriel got the eviction notice, the Oversight Board and Puerto Rico's government announced its most recent proposal of cuts to Puerto Rico. Among those cuts is a reduction to the university's overall budget, cutting almost 20% of its personnel in the next 5 years, and doubling the cost of tuition. Which is why on May Day, activists and students from across the island took to the streets of San Juan and marched toward the city's financial center. Gabriel was part of the protests.
Everything was pretty peaceful by that point. People were singing. People were wearing costumes, being dressed as rats, politicians. A lot of chanting and phrases against austerity measures, against the government, against the oversight board.
By the time they got to the financial district in San Juan, Gabriel found himself in front of five lines of heavily geared riot police. But even though he and the police were on different sides that day, he could relate to them more than most.
My mom is a cop, is a single mother.
Gabriel knew cops. He grew up around them. And now he was up against them.
On one side, I saw the fat cop who reminded me of one of my mother's friends. But on the other side, I saw the jacked up guy who was pretty intimidating and was looking at me with a very straight face.
Before getting out to the streets, Gabriel posted a comment on his Facebook explaining
that I was kind of like screwed up from all angles because on one side, I couldn't afford the increase on tuition cost. But on the other side, my mom isn't getting paid.
According to Gabriel, because of the recession, his mom isn't getting her overtime pay.
She worked day and night during Maria. She works 10 to 20 extra hours per month or even more. And just like hundreds and hundreds of cops, she's not getting her proper pay.
And like the university, the police are also facing cuts proposed by the board. Gabriel said he tried to talk to the officers to tell them that they were on the same side.
Hey, my mother's a cop. I know that they owe you the payment of the extra hours that you work. You don't have to do this.
When Gabriel looked at his phone, he saw a bunch of missed calls from his mom.
My mom is calling me multiple times saying, please get out of there. Something is going to happen. I'm very worried about you.
And she was right.
Police didn't move. Obviously, people start to like go through, and that's where the police started throwing pepper spray, gases, started hitting protesters, arresting people, hitting journalists.
Coming up on Latino USA, as Puerto Rico's financial crisis worsens, Gabriel faces a difficult choice: to stay in Puerto Rico and fight against the measures coming from the Oversight Board, or to leave the island and start from scratch.
I've been this close to say, to the hell of it and leave the island.
Stay with us, no te vayas.
Many women can run businesses and write computer code, but are they still being locked out of big tech? I'm Joshua Johnson, the host of 1A. We're spending a week at the Aspen Ideas Festival talking about this and other big issues. Check out our coverage on the 1A podcast.
All right, we're back. And before we left off, Gabriel, an economics student at the University of Puerto Rico, found himself in the middle of tense May Day protests in San Juan. When the protests were over and the dust settled, authorities in Puerto Rico were not happy. Here's Latino USA producer Andres Caballero once again.
After the May Day protests wound down, Governor Ricardo Rosselló condemned the violence and praised the police for putting themselves in harm's way to maintain order. Many protesters were hurt, several were arrested, and at least 15 police officers were injured. Some who watched the protests felt like the students were overreacting. After all, they seemed to have a pretty good deal. The University of Puerto Rico is the most prestigious on the island, and is pretty affordable compared to other public universities in the U.S. It's currently 70% funded by state and local government, compared to the 25% funding that public universities in the U.S. receive. Tuition is just $1,700 a year. But wages are also lower than on the mainland. For low-income students, doubling the cost of tuition could be a deterrent.
I'm afraid that I'm going to have to take less courses next semester and take even longer to graduate, get myself in debt.
Gabriel's mom was angry after the protest too, but for a different reason. She was upset with Gabriel about the comments he had posted on Facebook where he condemned police brutality.
She's like, why are you posting? Why are you being so anti-police this morning? Well, I have some convictions, Mom, the same way you have yours. I respect your job, you're hardworking, but I believe that you're being used to oppress people that are fighting for their rights, and you're being a tool of people that don't want the best for us.
And then Gabriel says there was a shift that led them to understand each other a bit more. That even though they play opposite roles in the protests, as protester and cop, in the end, the crisis affects them both.
And now that she's feeling austerity cuts, she's now thinking, it's my job, but I support you, and I'm not going to be able to eat, but I'm going to provide for you and your sister if it has to be done after cuts to education.
For student activists like Gabriel, the key to fighting austerity is to fight the oversight board. After all, they can't just vote board members out if they don't like what they do.
People are so tired of colonial politics. People are so tired of the same politics that are still being imposed by Congress.
A week after the protest, on the other side of campus from Gabriel's dorm, students sat by a mural of Oscar Lopez Rivera, a legendary Puerto Rican freedom fighter, or terrorist, depending on who you ask. The mural read, quote, "We can have a better and more just world if we find the courage to fight for it." Close to that mural was the law school, where students had organized a symposium. They invited David Skeel, one of the oversight board members, to Skype in and take some questions. And he agreed. At last, this was the students' chance to speak directly to the board, maybe even influence its thinking. On the Facebook live stream, you can see Skeel's face appear on the giant screen, wearing round-framed glasses and a pair of headphones for the translation. A law student named Sol Vasquez stood up and addressed them.
The board wants to increase tuition, which affects students, many of which live at the poverty level. How do you plan to bridge that disconnect between the reality that you guys are observing from far away, from up there in Mount Olympus, and the reality that we have to live with the real life effects of what you're implementing?
And Skeel seemed receptive. At least he came off that way.
I think that's a very fair point. I personally have made efforts to get out into the community and to see the effect of the hurricanes.
Skeel is a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He's also written numerous books about debt, finance, bankruptcy. Before being appointed to the board, he didn't have much of a relationship with Puerto Rico.
On the struggles of lower-income students, we are aware of that. And
Skeel said that the hike the board is calling for is designed not to affect lower-income students like Gabriel. But students say that's not true. About 2 weeks after the protests, Gabriel and other students showed up to a student-faculty meeting demanding answers around the closure of Torre Norte, the subsidized dorm where Gabriel lives. Students held signs that read, quote, "My university is leaving me homeless." There were about 100 people in the room, faculty members, student senators, and the university's chancellor, Luis Ferrao. He sat on a table at the front of the room as he tried his best to answer questions coming from the students.
¿Por qué el proceso se da específicamente en este momento?
That's the chancellor. He says a big part of the closure has to do with damages caused by the hurricane. The students laughed in response. They didn't buy it. After all, the building had already reopened for months after the hurricane.
They're pretty much closing down the building so they don't have to give it maintenance, and that way they can take it out of the budget. Or they're paving a way for a privatization of the building.
Chancellor Ferrao told the students and faculty that the closure has nothing to do with privatization. One professor got up and asked why students weren't given any other housing options. After the meeting, I asked Chancellor Ferrao if they were going to provide alternatives for these students.
The fiscal board is controlling or limiting our university's budget. That's a fact. We don't have the amount of money that would take to relocate all the students.
On June 15th, the day the students were supposed to vacate the building, Gabriel went up to his room in Torre Norte and packed up his stuff. Some of the students tried camping outside, so the university sent security guards to make sure they left the building peacefully. Gabriel finished packing and walked right out. He said all he felt was numb. Recently, the university announced it would give stipends to help some of the affected students pay for private housing next semester. Gabriel says he found out about it too late and missed the deadline. The thing about all this is that the University of Puerto Rico has always represented a way out of poverty for low-income students, a path to the impossible. So you have Gabriel here, who embodies that Puerto Rican student success story, child of a single mother, someone who managed to get accepted into a prestigious program. But even after doing his part and making good headway during his first year, he's still hitting a wall.
I've been this close to say, to the hell of it and leave the island.
Gabriel says that even though he and his friends are desperately looking for reasons to stay and make things work, it seems like they're constantly reminded of all the reasons there are to leave.
Like, you know, it's easy to say I'm going to stay here, but once you get the chance to start all over, it's a decision that it's hard to take and that many people just decide to leave.
He says that after Hurricane Maria, many of his friends left to places like Florida, New York, Texas. But when the fiscal plan goes into effect,
it's going to be a breaking point for people. It might be a breaking point for me even.
The government has to make cuts. There's next to zero chance that Washington is going to wave its hand and make the debt go away. But a less educated population means fewer high-paying jobs, lower taxes, economic stagnation. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Gabriel says he's constantly struggling between staying positive and his own anxiety about what comes next.
Even as you try to run from thinking about it, at the end of the day, when you're in bed and you're consulting with your pillow, you're going to think about this and it's going to give you anxiety. Sometimes it feels that it's beyond your control, and we're making the efforts in preparing ourselves. We're preparing for the worst.
Ultimately, Gabriel's reality, one of feeling like you're constantly trying to get up only to be knocked down again and again, with the loss of subsidized housing, a tuition increase, cuts to health care. In a way, this also reflects a much larger reality of Puerto Rico as a whole, an island trying to recover from an 11-year recession, the destruction left by Hurricane Maria, a bankruptcy filing, and now budget cuts, ones that could easily push more people to have to make that difficult choice, whether to stay or to go.
Yeah.
Our two-part series on the Puerto Rican debt crisis is a collaboration with WNYC in New York. Today's episode was produced by Andres Caballero. It was edited by Marlon Bishop. And the Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Antonia Cerejido, Sofia Paliza Carr, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Sayer Quevedo. Our engineers are Jeannie Montalvo and Stephanie LeBeau. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our fellows are Maya Cueva and Jesse Alejandro Cottrell. Fact-checking this week by Jennifer Velez. Special thanks to Jane Sassine, Patricia Willens, Zeke Peña, Jacqueline Sincada, Luis Valentin Ortiz, and the folks at the Centro de Periodismo Investigativo in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. And if you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. I'll see you there. Hasta la próxima.
This episode is made possible by the Charles H. Revson Foundation. The statements made and views expressed, however, are solely the responsibility of the author. And the Jacob and Valeria Langloth Foundation, the Park Foundation, WNET's Chasing the Dream Initiative, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And today on Latino USA, no. Hey, I want to tell you about something super exciting that's coming up, because this year Latino USA turns 25 years old. And we want to invite you to our birthday party. On Sunday, August 12th, we're teaming up with City Park Summer Stage to celebrate with Grammy winner Jerry Rivera, New Yorican poet La Bruja,
even if you ain't Boricua, can I call you my peeps?
And famed percussionist Chembo Corniel. So come out, dance, and party with the Latino USA team in New York City's East River Park for free as we all get together to celebrate this important anniversary. I hope I'll see you there.
NPR's Code Switch tackles race and identity in America with humanity and humor. You'll laugh, you'll learn, you'll get uncomfortable. It's worth it. Find Code Switch on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.